Track 13, Pains and Pluses Journaling. On the last track, we discussed illusions. Now let's look at the demands for competition and how Pains and Pluses Journaling has helped Molly. Molly, a 21-year-old college student, struggled with her own expectations of perfectionism in her relationship with Sean. Molly and Sean started dating in high school when she was 15 and have been dating ever since. When Molly first came into my office, she would say to me things like, "Our relationship is the greatest. Sean is the best. Everything about this is absolutely right. Nothing could possibly be any better." As you can see, Molly was using superlatives to polarize issues and create a perfect reality. The 5 years of abuse made her crave an ideal world with an ideal relationship. In her ideal world, Sean would make her feel special and safe. All this polarization contributed to the creation of Molly's perfect self, which, as you know, is contradictory to the self-esteem of a battered woman. Have you tried a Pains and Pluses journal with your perfectionistic client who has been battered? Here's how it worked with Molly. One column is labeled the pluses of perfectionism. The other column was labeled the pains of perfectionism. After putting items on both sides, Molly told me which side was better for her and why. Under the pluses side, Molly listed preserving the way people thought about her and to feel good about what she does. Under the pains side, Molly listed not being able to live up to the ideals she set for herself and having people see through the facade she was maintaining. After analyzing the list, Molly was able to see how the perfect self she created was destroying her self-confidence and self-esteem. Have you found, like I, that many battered women destroy their real selves by placing such perfectionistic standards on themselves? Molly's own demands of a perfect self also created the second demand many battered women often face, which is competition. Regarding Molly's competition with herself, Molly's perfect self was someone whom she was in constant competition with and would never be able to live up to, because she wanted to have, as she put it, the greatest relationship with Sean. Molly was constantly in competition with her own personal idealized standards. She even burst out in sobs in one session, stating, "It's like a race that I have to win, but can't. Not being able to be absolutely right all the time makes me feel absolutely wrong most of the time." Thus, Molly's perfect self largely contributed to her feeling of failure, as with many battered women. However, as you know, in addition to being in competition with themselves and their own idealized standards, battered women feel in constant competition with others. For example, Becky, age 26, felt in competition with her neighbors, her husband David's business associates' wives, David's family members, and many other women that came across her path. Have you found, like I, that this competition with others oftentimes makes friendships very difficult for the battered woman? Their feelings of competition even make friendships with oneself impossible. Becky had been married to David for 3 years and had a 2-year-old daughter, Mariah. David had been abusing Becky in small ways for years, as she put it. Becky stated, "The worst was when he threw a cup of steaming hot coffee at me because I hadn't put enough sugar in it." When she first came into my office, Becky suffered from constantly comparing herself to her friends and competing with herself. She stated, "I visited my neighbor one afternoon and saw that her laundry was scattered all over the couch and not folded. I smiled inside and thought to myself, 'My house never looks like this. I always fold the laundry as soon as it's dry. David never has to see it.'" However, this level of competition, as you know, is harmful for Becky. Her standards and expectations of always being better were nearly possible to maintain with a normally active 2-year-old in the house. She stated, "I will always make sure I look just right whenever I leave the house, even if I'm just going to the grocery. I want to make sure I look as good as all the other mothers. I don't ever want David to feel ashamed of me or feel I'm a bad mother. With Becky, I found a goal-setting exercise helped to make her demands of competition and perfectionism more realistic. At the end of the session, Becky would write down a realistic goal that she would like to achieve for herself. For example, Becky's goal the first week was not to worry how she looked every second of the day. The following week, when Becky returned to my office, she stated, "It felt like 1,000-pound weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. After applying my makeup in the morning and styling my hair, I don't stop at the mirror again until I wash my face before bed again in the evening." If she was unable to meet a goal, Becky and I would discuss possible events that had kept her from achieving the goal, as well as what she could do differently to make this goal more obtainable in the future. Since David had been court-ordered into anger management, his physical abuse became less of an issue. Thus, the building up of Becky's self-esteem through the tearing down of her competitive, self-made superstructure became a treatment focus. In this track, we have discussed the excessively unrealistic demands of perfectionism, as well as the pains and pluses journaling and setting realistic goals. In the next track, we will discuss how a battered woman can kill her dragon, so to speak, of self-criticism. And I think you can see how this fits right into the perfectionistic self we've just talked about. Question 13. How is a Pains and Pluses journal beneficial to a battered woman?